Saving money on your outdoor project? Now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome to the Power of the Purse podcast, the only show connecting women professionals to their peers. This isn't just about money. This is about life. And now the host of the Power of the Purse podcast, Lynn S. Evans.
Hello and welcome to another Power of the Purse podcast with Lynn S. Evans. Today we're going to talk about the five mistakes that women generally make in divorce. Now, Lynn has an excellent chapter of her book about this, and we're going to deconstruct that a little bit, but we're also going to simplify it because the book dives deeply into the to-dos and the processes and all of the kind of boxes you need to check. We're going to take a little higher level on that today. But these are five points that are quite eye-opening. So if you're not driving, make sure that you have a pad of paper ready because these are going to spark thoughts, conversation, and potentially you needing to reach out to somebody to follow these through. So Lynn, welcome to the show, and let's dive into to the first one of these mistakes, please.
Okay. Thanks, Matt. The first one I think that I find all the time, and I understand it, but I really feel like it's something that women have to take a disinterested, dispassionate look about. And that is that most women opt to keep the marital home versus any other types of compensation. The problem with that is that even though it bodes well for the family initially to keep everybody together, the kids have their own rooms, and even in older people who divorce, there's something about the kids being able to still have their bedrooms when they come home for the holidays, et cetera, et cetera. The problem with that is that unless there is a significant amount of income to be able to take care of not just the normal everyday stuff about a house, like the utilities, the taxes, those types of things, there needs to be some way that somebody puts aside money for those inevitable major repairs, like the roof, like the boiler, like the furnace, like the air conditioning system. All those big multi-thousand dollar expenses that nobody planned on. And I do understand why. I understand that it's part of the nesting type thing that women have, that we like to keep our home. But you have to be realistic and look at this and say, is it possible that maybe a smaller house with better ways for me to be able to manage it, put some money aside for the inevitable big events that occur in the maintenance of a house, is a better way for me to do this? Generally speaking, the costs of maintaining two households, including the one where everybody was living together, and the new one makes it virtually impossible to try to maintain the standard of living that everybody had before the divorce.
Lynn, do you find that standard of living is equated mentally with the house itself?
Yes. Yeah, because it's for a lot of people, it's not just the standard of living, meaning I'm able to pay my bills every month, but there's a certain cachet of having a house in a certain neighborhood. And that lends itself to a certain stability for a lot of people. So if I have to move out of that development and move into something that's less desirable, there's a psychological shift that has to occur. And if it doesn't, that's a big part of why women stay where they are. They want their kids to be in the same school district with their friends. They want to be able to enjoy some of the same types of after-school academic exercises that kids do. And the same with their circle of friends. And if that is missing, that standard of living significantly drops, psychologically as well as financially.
Denesting sounds very difficult to me. I just as a man, I can't imagine leaving my house, which really helps. Well, I shouldn't say helps. Forces women to make your second mistake. Is that fair?
Correct.
So what is that?
That second mistake is opting for the house versus any other types of assets. So if the division, if you go down a straight line and say, these are the assets I want, these are the assets he wants, the problem is that the wife will take the assets that are what we would call, and as you well know, illiquid, meaning you can't sell off a room of the house if you need to get some to raise some cash. But on the other hand, the husband might opt for the apartment or a place where he can bring the kids. They have enough bedrooms for all the kids to stay or not. It depends on how old they are at that point. But he will opt for that smaller place to live and a bigger piece of the retirement plans in exchange for the value of the house. That's not good.
No, that it's like, wow, that's horrible.
Yes, because the thing is, when you get to retirement age and you don't have those assets to generate the income, usually most types of alimony, or if there is no alimony in the state, which is unusual, but if there is no alimony, there is no way for most women to continue to receive an income past their ex's retirement. Because it's usually stipulated in the divorce settlement that once he retires, there's no more alimony being paid.
Right.
Well, that's wonderful if for him. But if you've got a house that was remortgaged recently and you have a 30-year mortgage and you're now looking at 65 with 20 more years on that mortgage, where's it going to come from?
Yeah. Wow.
So it's really a serious issue when you get to the other end of the road here and you've got yourself in a situation where you have maybe 20 more years on a mortgage, even 10 years, 5 years. And all of that mortgage was based on an assumption of income at a certain level, that it was doable. Now that you've reached the age where, as in most cases, for retirement, when that happens, generally the spouse who was the breadwinner will be in a situation where their alimony stops, because it's usually written that way in most divorce settlements. So now you, as the spouse, as the wife, who doesn't have that level of income, is now looking at retirement, whether you wanted to or not. You are now forced into retirement. And now you have a situation where you have mortgage payments and no income to support it. So whether you look at this and say, I really wish I should have done something about that when we got the divorce, I'd be a lot better off. Or you're looking at it now where you're standing with no income, you're going to have to sell that house. It's kind of like that old Fram oil filter story. You pay me now or you pay me later.
Yeah.
It's the thing is, it's going to happen. So unless you take on boarders, which is one option I've seen some people start doing. There's a wonderful woman that I interviewed on this podcast from a company called SilverNest.com. And what they do is they match people up with people who have rooms to rent and people who need places to live. Now, that's an option. Or you have to downsize. You're forced to downsize, meaning you might have to sell that house in a really bad real estate market and take a nickel for it, but you've got to do it. Either that or you declare bankruptcy, neither of which is an attractive option. So I would say that the third mistake we're talking about, which is basically feeding right into that conversation, is that the women opt to just pass on taking the retirement income instead of, I should say, for the benefit of the house. So they feel like when you look through those two equations, I've got the house, I've got $250,000 worth of value in the house. You've got a pension plan that has $250,000. We're even. Well, we're not even, because now he's got money and you've got a house and you can't sell it off. So there's that, plus another adjunct of this is the fact that many women don't understand what kind of retirement plans their husbands have. So there is the traditional 401k plan, but there are many other types of retirement planning that, if you don't know about it, and I'm not saying that your attorneys would not discover this, because they might ask those questions, but when you try to settle a divorce yourself, this is some of the stuff you don't realize you're giving up, and that would be other types of retirement plans. So you've got something called deferred compensation, which is a nice way to say, I'm not taking my income now, I'm deferring it until I retire. Well, that doesn't show up on the books for the most part, especially if it's a privately owned company. You don't see that kind of stuff, but it's just an agreement that is between the employer and the employee, which could be the same person, by the way, if you own the business. So the point is, you don't see it on the books anywhere. There's nothing that says it's what we call an unfunded liability, meaning there's an obligation. As long as the company is solvent and capable of doing it, they will pay you X amount of dollars a year for usually 5 years, 10 years, something like that. You don't know about that as a wife. You won't even know to ask about something like that. So it's the ignorance of the things that are out there called retirement plans collectively that we need to be a little smarter about. And I do mention some of those in the book. So it is something that's important to understand that they exist and ask questions about.
Do you have a list of other questions? Do you have that in the book?
I do.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, there are a lot of questions you can ask. Even when, I believe in the book, we talk about it in the context of when you get together with your spouse, assuming things are wonderful, and you talk about all these things once a year. And I highly recommend that husbands and wives sit down and talk about this thing once a year. It doesn't have to be something that gets into great detail, but just an awareness of what's there. An awareness of, you're going to be okay because. And usually it comes under the topic of, what happens if I died tomorrow? Will you be okay? Is really more, I think it's in the chapter on widowhood more than it is in divorce, but same thing. Mm-hmm. So if you ask those questions, and you, very pointed questions, which you can ask in front of an advisor, or in front of an employee benefits person, whatever it is, that it's important to understand those things.
And if you're not getting the appropriate attention from your financial advisor before the divorce, then finding somebody who will be open to answering those questions is important, I'm assuming.
It is.
Okay.
Because, yeah, for obvious reasons. Before the divorce, generally speaking, most financial advisors, and I know you can attest to this from those that you've spoken to, they're usually men, and they usually have a relationship with the husband. And whether or not, I'm not going to say this in the sense that all men don't talk to women, because there are plenty of women who don't want to talk to them at all. They just don't want to know. And it's that sticking your head in the sand kind of thing that leads to all these problems later on. But assuming you have a woman who's interested in knowing these things, if you can find that your husband's advisor is willing to talk to you, that's a great thing. And ask questions and get a sense of I trust this guy or I don't. So if not, then obviously you'd want to go find somebody who is more like what you're looking for. Either somebody who is a woman who's been trained in a lot of this how to deal with women stuff, because it is different. It truly is different. I don't care what people say. Yes, the numbers and the facts are mostly the same, but how women respond to questions about money and how men respond are very different. Women don't necessarily want the details. They want the feeling. So if you tell me that I'm going to be okay because, and here are the reasons why, I can be very happy with that. If you start telling me your husband has a 401k plan and we have it invested in this model, and this is the way that he's getting performance, and it's a relatively aggressive, she doesn't care. She wants to know more about, I want to know that I'm going to be okay. So if you don't find that with the guy that your husband's dealing with, you got to find somebody else who can make you feel good.
Absolutely.
And in a divorce, that's extremely critical.
So what's next? What's one of the other mistakes that you've found that women make in divorce?
I think that they function from one of two different places in the divorce process. One is, I just want to make him squirm, I guess is a nice way of putting it. I want to make sure that he pays for whatever it is that she perceives he has done wrong. And so it comes from a place of being punitive and not necessarily being rational. Or the other side of the thing is, I hate this relationship so much, I will give up anything and everything just to get out. I need my sanity. So either of those are not very powerful places to be. In the second one, women get out as soon as possible, but they're not really getting the best thing they can for the future. And I'm not saying it's wrong, because a lot of women I know who've gone through this from that perspective have said, it's okay, I'm going to be fine. And in a lot of cases, they are, but it's not always the case. It means a significant reduction in their standard of living. It means walking around in a place of complete ignorance of money. To the point where I remember one client who, her husband handled just about everything. And she found that he was having affairs and whatever. And so she decided she'd had enough and she divorced him. But then she was driving her car and got pulled over by a state trooper who told her that her inspection had expired on the car. Registration had expired. And she looked at him like he was speaking a foreign language because she had no idea what he was talking about. That was something that her husband always handled. So it's little things like that, and then it gets to be much bigger things. But it's simply that kind of stuff. When you rely on somebody else to handle everything in your life, and that person isn't there anymore, some funny things and not so funny things pop up.
What about their ability to work to earn an income? Is that one of the things that you have come across as an important factor?
Yes. I think many women feel that once they are at home and they make the decision, they're staying home either to take care of children or, as they get older, to take care of parents or some other relatives that really need some help. They take themselves out of the workforce. And in that time frame, given how fast things change in our world today, you can't afford to just completely stay out of it in that sense, because things are happening so fast, you will become antiquated. Your skills will become antiquated very quickly. And so you need to keep up with whatever it is, the field that you're in. And I know that's hard to do, especially if you're a full-time caregiver, but it's something you must do.
I'm sorry, Lynn, this is going to come from a major point of ignorance, but how do you do that? I mean, do you have any tips or tricks on re-entering the workforce, re-engaging that sort of stuff? How do you balance that? I'm not trying to get into the nitty gritty. It's just you kind of left that there, and I'm like, oh my God, I want to know more. So help me with that a little bit more, will you?
Okay. So I think one of the biggest things is with the advent of social media, you can now become part of organizations that help to support women in the whatever field. I just joined one today that was, I think it's called Power Women Professional Speakers. So if you go online and you just take a look at some of these organizations, you can type in into LinkedIn, whatever your field is, and see all the different groups that you can be involved with. And those groups can help you with understanding how to take some online courses that would help. And these are usually at your leisure. You do them whenever you can do them. So you might want to do it on a Saturday or a rainy Sunday or something like that and just say, I'll take a course and get more up to date. And it's not so much that it's certification or graduation of a course. It's more like wanting to make sure that your skill level is up to date. And also making sure that when you put out resumes, that you're now using language that is more contemporary than what it may have been when you had a resume out 20 years ago. So those are the kinds of things you want to look for. And then if you do need certification, what is it I have to do? You can go through LinkedIn or any sites online and find out what are those things that I need to do to get myself back on track. And it is absolutely essential that you do that, especially if you are thinking about or contemplating a divorce, because there is an assumption when the divorce is figured out that you would be capable of earning X amount of dollars per year. And those X amount of dollars per year go into the formula for how much alimony your ex is supposed to be providing. So if you can't earn that, that's a problem. You may have to do something way different than what you were doing before you left the workforce. And whether or not you can earn that kind of money is very interesting. It's not necessarily true, although some women have done it.
How about we go back through those five mistakes and wrap up today's podcast, if you don't mind?
Okay. So the first one is taking the house as an assumption all the time. The house is better than the money. The second one is not understanding retirement plans and what may be hidden that you don't know about. The third one is understanding the long-term effects of taking the house versus the retirement plans. How will you take care of the house 20 years from now when you still have a mortgage and everything is falling apart? You don't have the money or the ability to go out and get a loan to be able to take care of it. And the fourth one is wanting to drive this conclusion to the divorce simply because you can't stand it anymore and you just want to get out at whatever price it costs you. Or the other side of it is to hang in there for as long as you possibly can because you want to punish your soon-to-be ex.
All right. If somebody wants to get in touch with you, Lynn, to have you come out and speak to your to their groups, or if somebody wants to engage you, what is the best way for them to reach out to you, please?
The best way is lynn@lynnsevans.com.
Fantastic. Well, Lynn, thank you very much for giving us these five mistakes so that we can hopefully help women all over North America not make these mistakes again. And if you find yourself making those mistakes, realize that it's as long as there's still a little bit of time, there's still an opportunity to recover. Any closing thoughts, Lynn?
No, I think that's it. There's still time to recover if you haven't signed on the dotted line.
If you have not subscribed to the podcast yet, make sure you click that subscribe now button below. That way, every time Lynn comes out with a new podcast, it will show up directly on your listening device. And if you know somebody who really needs this information, who is contemplating divorce or in the middle of all of this, please make sure that you share this podcast. And do us all a really big favor. If you wouldn't mind, take a second to rate the podcast and provide us with a review. That will help this podcast show up more and more on people's listening devices all over the country. So for Lynn S. Evans, this is Matt Halloran, and we'll see you on the other side of the mic very soon.
Thanks again, and join us next time to explore more ways you can take control of your finances and your life.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com. Save.